Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
2-2 pitch. Swing and a long drive. Deep left. Way back. Go on.
Hey, everybody. JJ Cooper, Josh Norris, another one of these MLB prospect deep dives. Today, we're talking about the World Series champions. Talking about the Dodgers, the team that if you're a Dodgers fan, this is the best of times. And it probably has been for a little while. And if you're a fan of anyone else, this is probably the team that you're more frustrated with than anybody, because they're not only the team that wins every year at in the regular season, they now have won at the World Series. You know, they've won at the postseason level as well. They spend money like no one else on the free agent market. But then on top of it, year after year, even though they never pick at the top of the draft, they're also one of the better farm systems out there. Josh, good to see you. I'll start before we even dive into the prospects. How do they do that? How do the Dodgers seem to have seem to be must-see viewing when you head out to Arizona every spring training? I know I'm generally going to get a call talking to you after one day on the backfields of where you just saw player after player that are worth keeping an eye on. In a system, again, that doesn't get to draft at the top ever.
They scout. It's a lost art, but they have a lot of them, and they're really freaking talented. It's not that difficult. They employ a robust group of scouts professionally, on the amateur level, and on the international levels, and they're really good. Like, here, their pro scouts, I love the way they do it. If I'm with them, I'm assigned to, let's say, three clubs. And then I'm also responsible for cross-checking the lower levels of somebody else's clubs. So they have the lower levels of the minor leagues blanketed, which is exactly how you should do it. Like, they have, you know, AA and AAA video is there. And it's pretty good in most cases. A little hit or miss these days for lower level stuff. And that's talking about the complexes, DSL, low A,
Ridge
High. If you get people out there, you are going to see the players. And if you see the players and you are a talented evaluator, you are going to be able to pluck guys other teams might not. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's, you know, greasing up the wheel and making sure it's very shiny and spins efficiently. Like, I don't know how they have, you know, a lot of analysts too. It's not just that they spend money on Blake Snell or Roki Sasaki or Yoshinobu Yamamoto. It's that they spend money on the best people whose names you don't know. I remember going to a game in the Florida State League last year. It was Jupiter versus Palm Beach. There were three Dodgers scouts there of the like four people. Like, they were, I think there was some regular coverage, some trade coverage. That's how you do it. If you have people who can see and who know what they're looking at, they're going to find the guys. And that's me on my soapbox. So employ smart people and get them to games.
So I will say with that we're going to dive in, talk about Dodgers prospects, but I do want to give a little preface here. We're not going to spend any time talking about Roki Sasaki. He's the number one prospect in the game. He's the Dodgers' number one prospect. We've talked a lot about Roki Sasaki on many of these podcasts and YouTube broadcasts. There's plenty there to chew on if you want more about Roki Sasaki.
Yeah, and
while Sasaki is the best prospect, Dalton Rushing was their number one prospect before Sasaki made his decision. Now he's their number two. He's basically big league ready almost at this point, but these are the Dodgers. So I'll just ask the question, like, is there a path for Dalton Rushing to Los Angeles, or is it much more of like he is a wonderful trade chip to acquire something and then so that he can fit somewhere else?
I don't think there's a path for him if he's going to catch, which is not to say he can't catch. You know, evaluators in and out of the organization are pretty bullish on his catching ability, but they have Will Smith and Austin Barnes. So not only is he blocked at catcher, he's blocked by another Louisville catcher. So that's kind of...
Who's signed for the long term, too.
He is signed for the long term. He's signed for a very long time. They've started exposing him to left field, and if that's where he winds up, he's got a better chance to play there, and his bat will play in left field. His bat will more than profile for a corner. He's one of the best offensive prospects in the minor leagues, but he also make a heck of a trade chip. That's the thing about the Dodgers right now. They have this roster that's like going to make the 27 Yankees look like creamed corn or something, and they also have the ammo to go out and amplify it in June or July if they so choose. And that's, you know, if their pitching staff springs a leak, well, they've got like six more guys behind them. They were all like, hey, X pitcher goes down. Here's Tony Gonsolin. Here's Bobby Miller. Here's Dustin May eventually. And they've got guys, and they can go out and get more guys. And that's a testament to, like I said, having the best people identify your talent.
So I don't even know, though, that in the short term, he doesn't fit in left field either, because this is a team that has re-signed Teoscar Hernandez, that signed Michael Conforto, that has re-upped Tommy Edman to a longer-term deal. Mookie Betts is in the infield, but by the way, if you needed to, he's also one of the best outfielders in the game. And oh yeah, by the way, Andy Páez, who had a solid season last year, he's your number four outfielder right now, or a platoon that kind of fits in with Conforto and Hernandez to some extent, or however that works. And by the way, Chris Taylor also is still on the roster, you know, as we record this. So this is, again, this is the challenge of being a Dodgers prospect. I feel like there are many benefits of it, but there is the downside of this, which is when you talk about block, things may have to happen. And the other thing with Josh, I would say with that is, okay, you've talked to scouts about Dalton Rushing. If you took the being blocked by Will Smith out of it, right? Let's say that he ends up as a trade chip this year.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever acquires him, I would say probably is looking at him as a catcher, right?
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, there's a handful of organizations that you would say, no, they've got their catcher. But also, he just doesn't have that much time in left field anyway. Like, that was the other thing. Like, he's a big league or a near big league ready bat, but not so much with the left fielding. Like, and understandably, he's just started getting that exposure. I wouldn't want to throw him into left field either. But if you trade him to, you know, one of however many different organizations, yeah, you can probably stick him behind the plate because, A, he's going to have more value there, because, you know, catchers are in short supply, and there would be a little less pressure on his bat anyway, because, you know, the bar for offense for catching is super low. So I don't know what his future holds. If I did, I would work on predicting other things with the future, but it's a really good luxury to have.
But I do want to talk a little bit more about his catching defense. As you said, I don't want to make this sound like that this is a guy who's a catcher in name only. It's more of something where his bat is more advanced, more developed than his glove. But are we talking about a guy who, given the time, given the chance to kind of work on it, could be an average defender? Or is that asking a little bit much of him behind the plate?
I sure hope so, because I put 50 on his defense and 50 on his arm. So I'd like to be right. I think I wrote in my update, he allowed 5 pass balls all last year. Now, some of that comes down to minor league scoring, but 5 is a pretty low number for a guy who caught all year long. He caught a fair amount of runners. Like, it's not a case where this is just a guy who's faking it till he makes it. He has the chance to be a big league catcher. Is he going to be
Yachty? We also know he caught velo.
Hmm?
We also know that he caught velo.
I think he caught, I mean, shoot,
he didn't even catch the best velo in the Dodgers system. They've got a dude who threw 104 miles an hour, and that was second in the system. So they got some velo. So, yeah, I would think if he goes somewhere else, he's a catcher.
Right. This is going to be interesting to see. Again, when we say that he could be a great trade chip, we don't even know right now what the Dodgers would be looking for. I mean, again, they could probably improve. You know, maybe they were looking for a shortstop at midseason if Mookie Betts isn't a fit at shortstop over the long term or something like that. But this is the team that does right now kind of have, as you mentioned, Josh, they could have three pitching injuries, four pitching injuries, five pitching injuries. It's like they seem to have the depth to handle that. And they got other guys who'll be coming back from injury as when these guys are coming back from it. It is kind of crazy just how deep this system is right now, how deep the big league club is right now. 40-man roster spots may actually become a little bit of a challenge. That's why the Rule 5 draft exists. This is when teams are in situations like this, it should be able to create a surplus for maybe some other teams to pick a guy off or two. But if you enjoy that, you definitely want to check out baseballamerica.com. That's where we have all of this. We have all of our analysis, all of our in-depth scouting reports. We have scouting reports, rankings of the top 30 prospects in all 30 organizations, including the Dodgers, with tools grades on all 30 players, and so much more. Fantasy coverage, college coverage, draft coverage, major league coverage, international coverage, everything you want to know, and especially for our Baseball America subscribers over at baseballamerica.com. But Josh, once we get past that heck of a 1-2, the number one prospect in baseball and also one of the best catching prospects in baseball in Roky Sasaki and Dalton Rushing. But after we get past that, this still is beyond that, I would say, a system with some of the higher ceiling prospects that we see, especially as hitters, that we see in the minors. Is that a fair way to kind of describe when we talk about a guy like a Jose De Paula, or like when we talk about a Zahir Hope, and we talk even on the pitching side, we talk about a Jackson Ferris. These are all guys who, while highly regarded now, we could look at this a year from now, having had a chance to kind of work on some things, having shown what they can do in higher levels of the minors, who could really take another step forward, I feel like.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of high upside guys who are waiting to be trade chips, probably, because we talked about how that roster looks like. Maybe it won't look like that in 2 or 3 years, but you know what? I don't think they're going to slow down on spending in like 2 or 3 years. In any case, yeah, Josue De Paula, an incredibly young man who knows the strike zone better than most umpires, who is still coming into his man strength and his power. That guy could be a monster. Zahir Hope is probably the most famous prospect in this system right now, not named Roky Sasaki, at least in the internet world. He had a very interesting year. Like, he did some really good things that analysts love. I think there's a little bit more to look at with him. Like, I'll explain Zahir's Hope system or season by saying he started off really strong in the California League, and he got hurt. And by the time he comes back, the complex league seasons had ended, and all those pitchers had matriculated back to the California League. So by the time he came back, he was facing a lower caliber of pitcher than he had to begin with. And then he goes to the fall league, where he starts like a house of fire, but he's facing like 25-year-olds who are battling spots on 40-man rosters, who took him apart toward the end of the season. So I don't think he's got a particularly lengthy track record of hitting against a competition that is his equal. It's either below his station or way above it. So I'm kind of interested to see how he does this year, especially like we talked about it earlier. If you go to the Midwest League, which I think he will, in April, he's going to be a very, very cold young man in Great Lakes. And that has, you know, hurt the best of hitters. So you might want to exercise a little bit of patience with Zahir Hope, but they bet on upside, and so far it looks pretty darn good. When they made that trade for Michael Bush, everyone thought, you know, Jackson Ferris, this is the dude. And you know, Jackson Ferris was one of the best pitching prospects I saw in the minors in 2023. And he started to figure it out. He really started to figure it out in Double A last year. It's not reinventing the wheel here by taking raw talent and using really smart people to polish it. That's how you get big leaguers. And that's what they did with Jackson Ferris. Well, they'll get it.
go back to DePaula for a minute. DePaula, the one thing about this is as good as his bat is, there's a lot that's going to be riding on that bat. If he doesn't, he's never going to be a great defender.
No.
But so far, he's not crossing the bar of acceptable defender. Is that like being too harsh, or is that a realistic?
I think it's a little too harsh, but he's never going to, you know, win you a gold glove, but he might be a 40 out there. But he might have to move to first base too. Either way, I think he's going to hit and hit for power so much that you're not going to care. Like he's got true monster upside. Like the ceiling is the roof, to quote a Chapel Hill legend around here. I can't say enough about how good this young man could be once he starts figuring out which balls he can lift. Like he hit, I think he's got 10 home runs last year, which really surprises me because the way he's built, it looks like he should hit 10 home runs a game. So he's still got some man strength. He's still got to learn which pitches to attack. He's still got a lot of development ahead of him. But man, the whispers on him 2 years ago in the DSL, they were right.
And the thing about this farm system, I would say, while we talk about they do have the number one prospects in the game, thanks to Roki Sasaki, they do have a number of top 100 prospects. But the depth of this system, I would say, is still probably more impressive than any top-end talent. Or would you agree on that?
I think so. I mean, I went to the Arizona Complex League for the first time last year. Check that box. Sweet mother of mercy. That ACL team was so good. It was more by happenstance that I watched a lot of them and a lot of the Diamondbacks. But, you know, you saw guys who had just put the DSL in a straitjacket 2 years ago, and they did the same thing in the ACL. Eduardo Quintero. I mean, you took one look at his swing from the side, and it's like, okay, that's what you need to see. This guy could be a superstar someday. That's as easy as it comes. Hyun-Suk Jang, some of the best stuff in the system, period, point blank. He does have to figure out where it's going. But, man, when it's all working, good luck. If you get it all working, he could have pitched in the big leagues. But, you know, had to figure out where it was going. They traded some of the guys, too. Alexander Albertus traded him to the White Sox. Jarrell Perez to the White Sox. They traded one of my favorite prospects. This wasn't on the ACL team, but Teron Laronzo. I remember seeing him 2 years ago in spring training, and just by accident, like on one of my open sides, and seeing the way his hips work, it was like, oh my. Like, these are like Adam Scott, Tiger Woods hips. And he was driving baseballs much the same way those two gentlemen drive golf balls. So they do a really good job of identifying high upside talent and then getting the upside out of them. Like it's pretty fun to watch. And it's why, I mean, shoot, just sitting there watching. The only time those guys struggled when I saw them was against Yumin Lin. So if you get a guy who can throw a changeup in the ACL, you're going to have a good time. And that led to a sub 2 hour
challenge.
Yeah. But yeah, they have a lot of really high upside guys who are really fun, and they've got some more coming. Emil Morales was our number 2 or 3 prospect in the DSL last year. He hit for power. He's a big boy. He used to make a little more contact on pitches in the zone, but, and stop me if I'm monologuing here, but top 5 pitching prospect I saw all last year was Eric Swan. And I mean, he's huge. He throws the living daylights out of the ball. He can spin it. He can throw a changeup. I mean, he took Jack Caglione apart in one of the games I saw, and he took a lot of people apart. It's one of those guys I would have paid to watch. Like, I would have bought a ticket, got my popcorn, and just watched that young man. I think he's going to blow up this year. Like, I'm a little more bullish on him than some people I talk to, but that was really, really fun to watch. As a matter of fact, I left the fall league on the day he was going to pitch again, and I thought, I really hope I get a delay or a cancellation. I really, really want one because I want to go see this guy again.
That's awesome. But so this is the farm system that we're still very bullish on. But I do want to ask the question because I keep getting it. I keep hearing from people on social media who say, oh, we continually overrate Dodgers prospects. And we'll dive into that right after this quick break.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tab, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tab. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we're back. So, Josh, I don't normally make this a social media comment corner, but I did. This is one I think is useful for us to talk about a little bit, which is there is, I think, some perception out there that, oh, well, what have the Dodgers really produced? And I will summarize this way. Okay, sure. I'll give you Corey Seager. That was 2015-16. I'll give you Cody Bellinger. That's 2017. Maybe even they'll give you know, say, okay, I'll give you Walker Buehler. You know, that we're talking 15, 16, 17, 18. Okay, this farm system really did produce, but really, how much has it produced? Is it really just overrated because they're the Dodgers? And I'm monologuing a little bit here, but I would say that the answer to that is I think that fans, and I don't even blame them. I understand the logic of this, but there is often this hope or expectation that when you hear about prospects, that they're all going to be 5-WAR players. And everyone can't be a 5-WAR a season player. Everyone can't be Mookie Betts. Everyone can't be Corey Seager, because those are exceedingly rare when they're produced. But if we said, okay, we're cutting the bar off, Walker Buehler, Alex Verdugo are guys that the Dodgers produced in 2018. I'm looking at guys who had 2+ WAR seasons. And someone's going to say Verdugo's not very good, but Verdugo is a regular for multiple years who's had 3 WAR seasons. That's actually good to produce. There are a lot of organizations that struggle to produce that kind of. Walker Buehler at his best has been an ace. That's a guy who's had a 7 WAR season by BWAR. That's a stud. 2019, we were talking about him earlier, Will Smith. Will Smith's one of the best catchers in the National League. Homegrown Dodger, not a top of the first round guy, a first round guy, but the Dodgers always pick at the back of the first round. You mentioned Tony Gonsolin earlier. He's had a 4 WAR season in the majors. Gavin Lux just traded to the Reds, but he's had regular seasons, 2+ WAR. Josiah Gray traded to the Nationals. He's been when healthy, he has been a solid starting pitcher. O'Neill Cruz came up in 22. That's the Dodger.
For all the smart things the Dodgers have done, they have made 2 of the worst trades in the history of this sport. They traded Yordan Alvarez, and they traded O'Neill Cruz.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think O'Neill Cruz even played a game in the Dodgers system officially. But those dudes are...
I know Yordan didn't.
Are real good. So I don't know how you want to count, but they didn't develop in that system, but they were ID'd by people in that system. So inside baseball here, huh? We just did the Yankees podcast. I'm going to give basically the same answer. Prospects get their value by what you trade them for, too. So, like, if you told me Teron Lorenzo had a 4 or a 5 WAR season in the big leagues, I wouldn't be surprised. They used him to get Jack Flaherty. And what did help Jack Flaherty kind of help him get? A ring. Like, that's the name of the game. I love what we do for a living, but I do not see anybody raising a number one farm system pennant anytime soon in the rafters. Your job.
I have taken a picture of a, of like a little placard that said it.
Yeah. Yeah. But the name of the game is to win trophies, and the Dodgers are ruthless and efficient when it comes to doing that. And it's weird to say that for a team who hasn't hasn't had a Patriots or a Lakers or a Warriors dynasty. They've only recently started, you know, actually 2020 they won it, and last year they won it.
They have two World Series championships
since I've been alive.
35 years.
Yeah, two World Series championships since I've been alive, I think. Yes. I'll be 40 soon. So it's
no, they've had three because 1988.
Okay, I forgot 88. All right, I was thinking 80 earlier than that. Okay, so three. Either Kurt way.
Gibson, you know, yeah, coming around the.
Well, I was 3 years old.
but I was watching as it happened.
Oh, wow. Anyway, you know, it's not like they're there yet, but I think the 29 other teams in the sport are starting to sense that it might happen. But I'm going to monologue here. Here's the beauty of our little playoff system we've got. It doesn't matter what you do in the regular season. If you trip up for a week, you're screwed. So I wouldn't look at this Dodgers team next year and say, we just fast forward to November, give them the trophy and call it a day. But the roster stacking they're doing is in part because some of the players you mentioned, the Will Smiths of the world, have become cornerstones, and they've been able to produce enough talent to acquire the pieces they need. And they spent a lot of money, which you are never going to hear me complaining about a team spending money ever.
I just want to finish this because that only got us to 2022. Because since then, they also produced James Outman, James Outman is the perfect example of the challenge of being a Dodgers prospect, in that he had a really good 23 and then he kind of found himself on the outside in 24. Ryan Pepiot, who had a great season with the Rays last year, who was acquired in the Tyler Glasnow trade. Connor Wong, who was kind of the everyday catcher for the Red Sox last year. Bobby Miller, who we talked about. Michael Bush, who was traded to the Cubs and brought back Zahir Hope and Jackson Ferris. Gavin Stone, Andy Páez are guys who haven't had that two-war season yet, but were kind of right on the edge. Now they just might be locked out of having that because of the talent on the big league club. Again, the short summation of that is there are a lot of organizations out there that would really dream of producing prospects like that. That does not include a Kyle Farmer, a Keibert Ruiz, other guys who've been regulars or part-time regulars for other clubs. The problem, again, for the Dodgers is going to be it's logjam after logjam after logjam, because you talked about DePaula. Maybe he's a first baseman. Well, they've got Freddie Freeman. We can talk about, Zahir Hope and staying in the outfield, or we can talk about Dalton Rushing, and you're like, okay, well, is he going to fit at catcher? Is he going to fit in the outfield? It's like, there's not a spot at either spot right now. These are the one place I would say, if you're the Edgardo Enriquez's of the world, the bullpen's going to be really loaded too. But at the same time, you can probably carve a spot in the bullpen a little easier. Edgardo Enriquez, the second hardest throwing pitcher in the Dodgers organization, right?
Right. Like that was a fun one last year. I saw him in spring training last year where it worked out so nicely. Because I saw him, and as soon as his two innings were done, I hightailed it to the other side of Camelback to get Noah Schultz, who had just started. But here's a great example. Nobody was talking about Edgardo Henriquez coming into the year. And then he goes out in the spring breakout game against the Angels, and he threw what one scout called the best inning he'd seen in the last 5 years. And, yeah, he has the firepower to do that. It's a four-seamer cutter and slider, if I remember correctly. And when he's on, good luck, you know.
And it's 103,
104.
But I will say, but it's 104. But they do have someone who gets to 104 more regularly. Is that a?
Oh, yeah, Reynaldo Yin, who got to 105. Now he doesn't. I mean, he's toward the very back of that system because he's doesn't really know where it's going most of the time, and he's been hurt a little bit. But to be able to throw a baseball 105 miles an hour, I've never seen that. I'd seen 104 before. Ray Black back in the day gave me 104 on the Stalker, but wow. I mean, it defies not just talking about the Dodgers, but like I saw Luis May a bunch and he throws it. You know, if he throws it 99, that's a changeup. The ability for these humans to throw these baseballs this fast continually boggles my mind and know where it's going. And they have there are guys whose names I don't even remember right now who I saw on the backfield with the Dodgers who were like 97 to 99, and probably won't ever be big leaguers. Like, it's bananas.
The other crazy part of this that I will just kind of throw out there that I don't even know, like, this is also an organization that also has some very interesting prospects in hibernation this year. Mm-hmm. Because we've talked about the impressiveness of that Dodgers-Tulsa rotation a couple of years ago. River Ryan, Nick Frasso are guys who really did kind of stand out. Kyle Hurt, and all of them are now kind of in the rehab plan, which I will say, that's probably the other thing that we should touch on here when we say, like, if you want to criticize and say that, okay, well, you know, our Dodgers prospects overrated, the one thing that I would say with this is, and then we could talk about, is the Dodgers, much like the Braves, are a team that when it comes to pitchers, they have no problems embracing risk. And when you say risk, I would say durability risk is one of those things where they're like, they may say that we're now trying to kind of tack back a little bit. Maybe last year, the second year in a row where they kind of ran out of pitching at the big league level, and they had an IL list of pitchers longer than pretty much any other team in baseball. We talk about guys like that who are now on long injury rehabs. The Dodgers have had plenty of pitching injuries. And I do think part of that is that they chase guys and they optimize guys in ways that if you're throwing the best you've ever thrown, spinning it the nastiest you've ever thrown, you are basically running closer to your red line more regularly. And they have had some of the downsides of that. Do you, again, in your sense, Josh, is that something that they need to really rework? Or if you are able to go out there and add two more, a Cy Young winner and the best young pitching prospect in baseball in an offseason following the year where you went and acquired the best available Japanese pitcher available the year before, and then coming off of a year where you also traded for one of the better injury-prone pitchers in baseball in Tyler Glasnow, is this something where it's like you can kind of steer through this skid if you're going to have this kind of depth?
Well, you didn't even mention Shohei Ohtani.
Coming off TJ. Right. I didn't even mention Shohei Ohtani.
When we're doing when we were doing the depth chart or the future lineups, Matt Eddy got back to me and he said, "You know, you didn't put Ohtani in the rotation." Like, oh my God, I forgot he even pitches. Like, he's that good as a hitter. I completely forgot that he pitches, which is probably something I shouldn't do. But in any case, I think your question was, should they stop chasing upside? No. That's they've gotten this far by chasing upside, and if the upside is throwing nine figures at whoever, fine. But there's been a couple teams I can think of who do a great job at getting the guys with upside, getting them to the upside that they're going to get to. Whether that maybe they believe they're going to peak at Double A, but they're going to look really good at Double A, and then they spin them for something else. That's how you do it. You capitalize on value. The teams that maybe screw this up a little bit are the ones that hug their prospects too long. We talked about it at the top. They have really good scouts and really good evaluators and really good developers. The most important scouting you can do is your own system. You got to be right on with your guys. You got to know when to hold them and when to fold them. And these guys do a great job of capitalizing on their value and turning them into pieces like Tyler Glasnow. Or, Michael Kopech last year. The fact they were able to go out and get a guy who blows 103 miles an hour with the devil's slider is remarkable. Just add him to a luxury item in the bullpen. I mean, you take
it. And Jack Flaherty.
Forget Jack Flaherty. How about Alex Vesia? Who knew about Alex Vesia like 4 years ago? He was in the fall league, but like they turned him into a really, really good big leaguer. That takes smart evaluators who are creative and imaginative, and they did it. Good for them. They got him. You think the Marlins couldn't use him? I mean, shoot. There's all sorts of really good scouting stories in there because, and I'll go back to the top, they have a lot of really good scouts, man. It's not that difficult. And they got a lot of money. But I think, would they stop chasing upside? Absolutely not. Don't give me the vanilla ball player. Give me... If he busts, he busts. But give me the guy who could boom.
Okay, to wrap this up, we've been doing this with you, each of the orgs. Looking out, this is a buffet of choices to choose from. But give me one prospect outside the top 10 that you're really excited to see kind of break out in 2025.
I kind of already mentioned him, but Eric Swan. he's unbelievable. Like it's hard and it spins and it dips and it darts and he's big and he can bring it to 100 miles an hour. If he's a reliever, he's a reliever. But I would let that guy have a long leash of start. You know, I talked to someone in the fall when he started. I said, where do they find these guys? It's just, and they said, well, we have an exercise that we did where we look at their team's previous draft classes and pick which guys we think are going to pop. And that was one of those guys. You know, I saw him in the ACL.
By the way, you wrote it. Eric Swan had a 6.5 ERA in college.
Middle Tennessee's rotation had both him and Jaden Hamm at the same time. I mean, that's a whole nother conversation. Teams are getting really good at sniffing out which programs don't get the most out of their pitchers and then, you know, sprinkling a little pixie dust on them and boom, their top whatever prospects. We'll do this podcast later, but Alejandro Rosario with the Rangers is another great story. Like, he wasn't anything to write home about in Miami, but now you're writing home about him every day with the Rangers system. So, yeah, they took a guy. They said, okay, well, this guy throws 100 miles an hour. He's literally the hardest throwing starter or pitcher in college, if I remember what Carlos wrote in his draft report, and said, okay, we'll take that kind of velocity. Cool. See if we can get anything out of it. Well, you do. You got something out of it. And whether that – if they feel like he's going to hit his peak in AA and maybe trade him to whoever for something, that's a win. That's a bet you've just won. So I would
bet. That's how they keep producing.
Upside is the gift that keeps on giving. And vanilla doesn't win world championships.
I like vanilla.
I do too. It's not going to win world championships. It's on my take board, JJ.
But, well, it is something where the Dodgers expect to contend again. And we will probably be talking about several of these prospects at the deadline. Because, as we said, they have plenty of ammo to make whatever moves they want to make year after year after year. We'll be talking about it here at Baseball America on the podcast, on the YouTube channel. For Josh, I'm JJ. So long, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. And instead, simply go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI on Unlimited Ultimate and a watch or tap, also on them. Service plan required for watch or tap. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.